This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thank you. Good evening, faithful listeners. You're listening to The Spirit Lounge every Thursday on Joy 94.9 from 8 until 9. I'm joined here by Rachel. Hello, hello, Rachel.
Hello, Tal.
Welcome back to The Spirit Lounge. And we're going to start out with our holy day of the week. And that's actually why we were playing that song. That's by Ani Choying Drolma. She's a Buddhist nun, quite famous for her singing and sings all over the world. And that was called Seven Lines Prayer of Guru Rinpoche. And I think it's quite a relaxing start to the Spirit Lounge.
Definitely. You'll never even know that we're distressed.
So the holy day of the week that we're covering is related to Buddhism. It's called Nirvana Day, or actually Paranirvana Day. It's actually which translates roughly to complete Nirvana. Yes. And it celebrates the day that the Buddha died. That's a funny way of saying it, say that he celebrated.
It's just the day that his physical body died. They really like to emphasize that it was just his physical body died, but like his spiritualness was still very much there and present.
Well, that's right. I mean, you have to remember that we're working on the assumption that this is actually the moment where the Buddha achieved complete enlightenment.
Yes.
And so it's actually it's a very joyous day.
Definitely. Yeah. Everything that I read about this, that no one seemed like it was a sad day at all. It wasn't like, you know, the day that Jesus was hung on the cross type thing. It was like a really beautiful day.
Though apparently that's a Good Friday, may I note. Though I've never quite...
I beg to differ.
Okay. Apparently it was a Good Friday.
Yes, well, it's called that, isn't it?
So during this time, passages are usually read from a book called the Paranirvana Sutta, which is basically like saying the complete Nirvana passages, and it describes the last days of the Buddha. It's also quite a social occasion.
It is, yes. They'll open the monasteries not only to Buddhists and monks, but just to normal civilians to welcome them into the Buddhist temples and monasteries to experience Paranirvana Day.
And did you sort of see what people do on Paranirvana Day?
Bringing gifts? Is that what you're talking about?
That's right.
I like gifts.
They had gifts, you know, clothing, money, sort of essentials,
yeah.
Food, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, and it's really to just like bless the monks in the monasteries. That's what I read.
Well,
so
it's all,
blessing to the monks to achieve their full enlightenment.
Yeah, and I assume it takes a double system because monks don't work, or in theory they don't work. I know that's sometimes a bit of an issue, particularly in the West, because we're sort of not, you know, society as a whole is not really aware that like monks are not supposed to be working, so then how do you sort of allocate for that? But all of these holidays are also good times to then be able to provide for the monks perform this role within society. And so I assume that the bringing of the goods and clothes is also part of that.
Yes. So they also have like large meals provided. They prepare food to share on this day. So it is quite a shared, joyous occasion. We all know we like to sit around and eat food together. So Why not do it in a monastery?
That's
beautiful and peaceful.
It sounds like quite a happy holiday. Like you said, it's presence, singing, reading of nice passages. Sounds very, very exciting.
And
though
very
it's also
uplifting.
Yes. And it's worth noting that we're sort of doing it today because it's going to be on the 8th of February, but a lot also do it on the 15th of February.
Yes.
So there's sort of a double on that one. And I couldn't quite work out why there was
a change in dates. Depended on different like countries around the world from what I read. Like in China, they celebrated on a different day to what they do in India. So
that was my understanding as well, that there's not necessarily particularly aggressive reasoning for it.
I'll happily feel enlightened on both the 8th of February and the 15th of February in honour of Buddha's Nirvana Day.
However, it can also be a bit of a sad day. There is a bittersweet element. It's probably not intended to be, but I personally would kind of imagine being able to get through the element that this is also a day where people think about those that have recently died.
Yes.
And might say prayers for them and things like that to sort of help them wherever they are. And it's also my understanding that it's even a time where you think and meditate on your own death and the future death of your loved ones. Obviously,
yeah,
that's coming for all of us.
And really, they really do meditate on the thought of reaching that enlightenment. So to reach nirvana yourself would be like ultimate at your death, and that's what they believe. That's when Buddhists do die, is when they do reach enlightenment.
Hopefully, one day they reach enlightenment.
Yes.
To sort of break the cycle of reincarnation.
Yes.
So for our Buddhist friends out there, I won't be able to be on the air on those actual days, but I would like to say to you, happy Nirvana Day. And if you would like to write in to the Spirit Lounge, please send us an SMS on 0427-JOY949. You can also email onair@joy.org.au. And as I always note every week, you can always use your Joy app and contact us via there. So you're listening to the Spirit Lounge on JOY94.9. Happy Nirvana Day. We're speaking to our main guest for tonight. His name is Lachlan. He is from the Metropolitan Community Church, which has been marching in Sydney's Mardi Gras for 40 years. That is huge. So he's here to speak to us. He's the float organizer. Welcome to the Spirit Lounge, Lachlan.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, Lachlan, why does the MCC march in Mardi Gras?
So, as you mentioned before, MCC's had a strong presence at the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, but I guess it really goes back to the whole core of what the Metropolitan Community Church movement is about, because it is a movement. It's not just a denomination or a number of churches. It's about making sure that it's about a statement that everyone is equal, everyone is welcome, and everyone deserves the same treatment, the same rights. And I guess, you know, a huge tenet of the Metropolitan Community Church movement is social justice, and so you can sort of see where I'm going, that it really does, the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, just, it really embraces all of the core aspects of what MCC is about.
Awesome.
Now, you've been going on for quite some time. Do you have a lot of people who are Mardi Gras veterans, or are most people young? What's the sort of demographic we see in your floats?
It's a really varied demographic, and it's changed a lot as Mardi Gras has changed. I mean, the early years, it was very much, lots of glitter, lots of feathers. It was a really communal working bee type environment. And as the standards of Mardi Gras have changed more towards, you know, printed banners and a lot more of a professional company type stance, I guess we've seen changes in our floats to mirror the way that the parade's changed over the years. But in terms of age ranges, it ranges from the old, the young, and everything in between. I mean, we've got people at the church who were part of the first Mardi Gras and the 1978 protest that led to the first Mardi Gras that are still with us today in MCC Sydney. And even at the parade itself, I mean, last year we had quite a few people who were older members of the church, veterans, if you will, that were in the bus that we had as part of the float. So it is a huge range, and this year being the 40th anniversary of the church, we're really hoping to get a wider demographic along and sort of break down that stereotype of typical young boys club Mardi Gras type thing. It's about everyone.
That's great. So, Lachlan, why is this year so important for MCC and Mardi Gras?
Well, as I said before, it's 40 years to the church, and, it's been such a journey for the church and for that community of people. I mean, it's been such a transient community. We've had people who have been there for pretty much the entire time. We've had people who have come and gone and come back and had partners, lost partners, unfortunately, and stayed with the church. And it's played such a pivotal role in the spiritual nature of the community, particularly through the HIV/AIDS crisis and really being a rock for the community when a lot of other churches were sort of running for cover, so to speak, and running away. The 40 years, it's a real celebration of what we've been able to do in the community and the fact that the community has embraced us for that time.
What can you tell us, what brought about the idea you have this hashtag your family thing going on? So where did that come from?
Well, I was speaking to a good friend of mine about it, and we were just over a couple of drinks just thinking of a few ideas. But I'm described by my friends as an 80-year-old woman in a 22-year-old man's body. And so I said to my friend, you know, what can we do? I said, you know, why don't we go with this young people hashtag thing? And he said, he just looked at me and went, oh, Lachlan, you're such an idiot. And so, yeah, we initially started with hashtag your church. And, you know, for, we thought that that works, your church since 1975. And it was a friend, another friend who said to me, but MCC's not just a church. You know, it's not just a group of believers that gather together each week. It's been through so much trial as a community that we really share in every facet of each other's lives and support each other, and it's a family. And that's where the hashtag Your Family Since 1975 was born, because it really is a family.
And you're on Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 with Tal and Rachel tonight, and we're speaking with Lachlan from MCC Sydney about their Mardi Gras float.
Welcome back, Lachlan.
Hey, guys.
So what's the impact that you're hoping to have on the community by participating in the Mardi Gras float every year?
Well, I guess, you know, we are a church, and so there's an element of that typical sort of church vibe. But unlike churches that go on the general sort of recruitment run, so to speak, MCC has always been a place, across the world, in fact, but also in our church in Sydney, or churches in Sydney, it's always been a place that people can go and seek refuge. You know, there's no prejudice. There's nothing to hold them back. And on top of that, I guess it's even with the preaching, it's a bit like that George Michael song. You know, listen without prejudice. All are welcome, all are loved, all are accepted, and all are free. And that's the hope that we're having to have at Mardi Gras, particularly this year. You know, we've been around for 40 years. We're still here. And we always will be. We're here to serve our community and just provide a safe space.
Yeah. So, Lachlan, is there ever any resistance to the participation of MCC in the march?
I don't generally think so. I think most people, particularly sort of people who are, you know, I guess have had connections with the HIV/AIDS crisis and that time, that awful time in our community, community's history, there's an awareness of what we're about, and there's an awareness that the church is there. And, you know, we often see it when we're marching. People's faces just light up. They see that MCC is part of the march. They remember us. They have friends that were connected to the church, or they might have gone to the church themselves. And they remember, you know, and it's a joy of, you guys are here. How wonderful. And it's a big celebration.
Is there ever resistance to your participation in the march?
There's always been sort of the very fundamentalist, you know, typical Fred Nile praying for rain type response. But as far as from the church itself, generally not. I mean, it's one of our core events.
So, Lachlan, when you say that MCC is like an all-inclusive church, we understand that that means, you know, there's the LGBTI community, but then there's also the allies, as we like to call them, as well in the church. So are there, like, the people who march in the float, are they specifically LGBTI members of the church?
Again, like everything else in the church, there's no requirements. I mean, we have a lovely young couple that are heterosexual, that are a very core part of our community and our young adult community, and they nearly always march as well. And they're heterosexual, so it's obviously a huge LGBTIQ event. But there's people who just want to support us and what we're about, and they like to be part of it as well.
How many people do you get marching every year?
Anywhere between 30 and roughly between 30 and 70.
70?
Awesome.
Wow. That's. Are you expecting this year as sort of a marking year for it to be quite large?
We're hoping. We've been limited to 60 places this year.
Oh.
We're hoping for 70. We're praying for 70 because the final numbers are released this Sunday at the entrance briefing day. So that's what we're hoping for, but the final numbers we've been given thus far are 60. And I guess, yeah, we're just hoping for a big response from the community and from the church itself, but not just the young folk who want to go and have a big crazy party night out, but from everyone who's contributed to our story and the fact that the story's still being written.
Yes. So, Lachlan, with the theme, Your Family, this year, are you hoping to get the families of members of the church involved as well? So I know in past years, sometimes people have invited their parents along to march with them. Is this, like, even more so expected this year with the theme?
Absolutely. My mum actually marched for the first time last year. And she's already committed. She's listening now too as well. So if she hasn't committed, she has now.
Hi, Mum.
She's marching with us again. And, you know, it's so funny because my mum's always been an ally of me. And, you don't really appreciate what you have until someone points out to you that they don't have that. And so many people in the church just adore my mother, and because she's practically the adopted mother of the church, because so many people don't have that. And, I know that it's a big invitation to bring parents along, and they're always welcome to. But I personally wouldn't want to put that pressure on people, because I know that it can be a sore spot, particularly in the gay Christian community as well.
So you were saying earlier on that the style of the Mardi Gras changed over time, and I was hoping you could expand a little on that.
Yeah, sure. So I guess originally, the first Mardi Gras was a protest. The first protest led to Mardi Gras, and as we know it today, it's completely different to where it started. And over the years, it's as technology has changed, our materials have changed, and now we're really lucky because all of the floats can go for crazy huge TV screens and professionally printed banners, and really get messages out there a lot clearer than hand drawn signs and glitter and confetti.
The way you imply it, sounds like you make it sound like there's something better than glitter and confetti. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I don't want to incriminate myself on radio.
So, Lachlan, how important do you think it is, like, for the presence of churches to be in events such as Mardi Gras?
I think it's crucial. I think it's really crucial. Times are changing, and thank God that times are changing. Churches all around the world are waking up to the fact that love is equal, and love is across the board, and love is divine. Love between humans, no matter what sexual orientation or gender, is just as divine as any other form of love. And I think as churches wake up to that realization, they are becoming more involved in things like Mardi Gras, because, it's a huge, huge... I try not to use the word outreach because of the baggage that word has, but it's a huge way to reach out to our community, to everyone who's broken or been burnt by churches in the past, and say, you know what, there's still love there, there's still community there, and there are still churches that are willing to do whatever it takes to show you that love and bring you into a strong community of people who will care about you.
So are you hoping to just, like, show the message that, hey, there are people around that care and love you and we are a church? Or are you actually hoping to maybe get people to come to the church, and do you have anything that will show people, like, we want you to come along and we want you to be part of this more than just this one day a year that you see us walking down a street?
Yeah, absolutely. We're hoping, we're still waiting for approval from Mardi Gras, but we're hoping to get some handouts approved that are really simple and just have the church service time. And there's a phrase that the minister of the church, as long as I've been there, has always used during communion. And every time he does communion, he always says, you are loved, you are accepted, you are free. And you can say those words in front of anyone who's been to MCC, whether it's once or for 40 years, and there's a connection through those words. And I guess for the handouts, we're just looking at service times and those words on the back. You know, we're not going to go with anything really preachy. We're not going to go with anything really forceful. It's just a really simple invitation that if you are looking for a community and you're looking for a group of people that are about acceptance, love and freedom, then you will find that at an MCC church. And there's MCC churches in Melbourne, in Brisbane and in Sydney as well.
Yeah, would you consider just putting something on there instead of the service times, because there may be people who are from different places, just to have maybe a website address on there and just be like, look it up for yourself. We're not going to force, this information upon you, but leave it in their hands to look it up and make their way. Or is that restricting because not everybody has internet?
Like I said, we're not going for anything like gospel tracks or anything really full on. That's even the thought of that makes me cringe. But we're just basically saying to people, we're here if you need us. We really want to meet you. We really want to share in your story as your story is being written, as our stories are being written. And on top of that, I guess, we have the MCC website for MCC Sydney. There's the international denominations website. There are websites for all of the local churches. But, you know, if people type into Google Metropolitan Community Church, they will probably find one within a reasonable vicinity of where they are.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Make sure you put Metropolitan Community Church and not just MCC on it then.
Absolutely. And there's a whole young generation of people now in the LGBTIQ community that really aren't as aware that it's out there. I mean, I know that a really close friend of mine had seen the MCC float in previous years and thought to himself, oh, the Christians are here, but really didn't click with it much. And then when he started coming to the church, it blew him away, and he sat at the end of the service and just cried, because he had no idea that there was actually a church out there that being gay and being a Christian was a real non-issue. And that's the story of so many people that go to MCC churches.
Yeah, definitely. So with a last fun one, can you tell us about the songs that you're going to use in your parade? We already played one of them. We played We Are Family by Sister Sledge. But what are the songs, and maybe a bit of reason as to why you chose those songs?
Yeah, of course. We chose We Are Family because obviously the theme is hashtag your family since 1975.
Hashtag,
of course. I'm trying to sound young and hip and cool and rad. So I just throw hashtags in alternatively. But we're going with the song Happy as well, because it's upbeat, it's fun. It's great for a Mardi Gras parade. And you know what? We are happy. We're happy, we're free, we're not ashamed. We're not downtrodden, and we're free to be who we are. And the song, absolutely everybody, my friend who had that experience in MCC is organizing the music for the float, and he said, oh, how about this one? And it completely resonates with everything the church is about. You know, absolutely everybody in the whole wide world. Doesn't matter what you bring, doesn't matter what you bring to the table, doesn't matter what baggage you have behind you, doesn't matter how well looked after that baggage is. Absolutely everybody. And it really goes to the heart of, for me personally, what Christianity is all about. It's about absolutely everybody, even the people on the fringes. And that's the whole reason behind the song, Absolutely Everybody, because it's what MCC is about.
For our Sydney listeners who might want to come see you guys at the float and stuff like that, do we have any details for them?
Yep, okay. So basically, on the day, we're all going to be wearing purple shirts that say your family on it. We're also going to have big banners on the sides of the youth that we've got as part of the float. On top of that, I mean, they can also check the website, mccsydney.org, and that has all of the information on it. And we also have places available. So if there's anyone who wants to march with us, then by all means, jump on the website. There's links. There's also a Facebook event that people are sharing around at the moment. Jump on board. I know that we've got one person from Melbourne who's thinking about coming up from an MCC Melbourne church to join us, and everyone's welcome. So if people want to march and want to celebrate freedom, then they're more than welcome to join us.
Look, and I can personally say that they will make you feel like family there. They're a nice bunch of people. I can tell you that firsthand.
Thanks, Ray.
So thank you so much, Lachlan, for being on the Spirit Lounge.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
And please enjoy your Mardi Gras.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, my God, can we listen after hearing that? And we had this, and we had car music. Then we had some full-on music, and we're going to get to... we're getting to Absolutely Everybody later. Oh. But meanwhile, you're saying to yourself, hang on, what if I could listen to, like, a room of, like, 400 monks all praying all at once for Nirvana Day, on Nirvana Day, good recording of that, because it's amazing.
Yes.
Is that what you were just thinking that you wanted?
Yeah, my brainwaves just got stolen from my ears.
I found this one before, and I've just been sitting here saying to myself, you know what, this one's so cool, and I was thinking it would be so cool for people driving in the car, just sort of looking around, feeling larger than life. So this is going to be our last one to do with Nirvana Day.
Don't fall asleep, guys. Hashtag stay great. Awake.
So this one's like a solid 8 minutes, so we're just going to sort of hear a bit from this recording. Okay, you're listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. Whether you're in a... Good evening, faithful listeners. You're listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And we're looking a bit at the news, and I think there's been some quite interesting developments when it comes to the vaccine outbreak that's been happening in America.
Yes.
So for those that don't know too much about it, basically California has very low rates of vaccines due to the anti-vaccine movement being quite strong there, and it's now actually led to a huge outbreak of measles that were all sort of contracted in Disneyland because people were so closely gathered together. So there's now over 80 cases of, like, mostly children, right, who have measles from going to the happiest place on earth. Very unfortunate. Obviously it wasn't their fault, but it was previously eradicated, basically. But yeah, the changes of anti-vaccine has really broken down the herd immunity, is what we call it.
Look, and I'm on the vaccination train, so this just makes me like forehead palm my head, but people are using religion as the reason to not vaccinate their kids, and they don't need to identify with this particular religion. They just need to say, I'm religious and my beliefs say that I should not vaccinate my kids. So they get away with it.
That's exactly right. It's really thrown the whole concept of religious exemptions into light, because what we have largely in the case of California specifically, this happens all over, but there's many issues involved with saying where people say, who are not necessarily religious, maybe they are, maybe they aren't, but they say, because they know that they can get their children out of the school vaccine system by saying it, they say, my child is not doing it for religious reasons, and just because of the way the law works, they don't have to cite any particular religion for it. They don't need permission from a minister like you sometimes do with other types of exemptions.
Yeah.
And so you're really kind of sneaking under the radar there.
Definitely. And the thing that is crazy about this is, like, people will use science to prove that God doesn't exist, and they will continue to do that forever. But as soon as it comes to science proving that vaccines will save your child's life more likely than it will kill your child, they're all like, oh, science doesn't know anything.
It's a funny kind of double that we have there. In other news, I think this is amazing news. A high-ranking English evangelical advocate, her name is Jane Ozanne, has come out as a lesbian.
Congratulations, Jane.
So apparently she actually had come out to close friends since about 2009, but she spent years going sort of on and off conversion therapy, and, you know, her trying to be straight, as they sort of say.
Yes, because as an evangelical, she would probably believe that she was not supposed to be gay.
Yeah, or certainly at least the churches encourage that sort
Definitely.
Of thing. And now she's sort of accepted who she is and is now the director of Accepting Evangelicals, which is an evangelical movement which is pro-LGBTI, and that's their biggest focus. I think it's really cool, and I think it's pretty amazing coming from someone who was such a high-ranking, I can't remember the exact equivalent of it, but really those top organizational bodies. She was in those committees and
Definitely.
That sort of thing.
So everyone at home, give her a round of applause, because that would have taken some guts, and good on her.
Yes, we always like to call out our heroes that we have.
Hero of the week is Jane Ozanne.
Absolutely. And you're listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. Now, Rachel, something pretty interesting has been going on in Iceland.
Yeah, so Iceland has recently had a growth in the number of people adhering to the contemporary Norse paganism. So, and we're only talking about 2,500 people here, but in a country of only 330,000, that is a quite large percentage.
That's right. So as a result, Iceland is going to see a temple built to the Nordic gods for the first time in about 1,000 years. Of course, about 1,000 years ago is when Iceland became a Christian country. Really, the pagan Nordic gods and that sort of thing really fell out of favor, and there's sort of been a rise in it again, which I think that's really cool.
Yeah, and it's definitely fascinating. So, and they've even planned the building, so it's going to be a beautiful circular building with a dome skylight, and it will be on a hill. So
the explanation I saw was basically like, this is everything that you would imagine a temple to the Nordic gods, like, that is that's probably exactly how you think of it, like a dome on a hill sort of overlooking this canyon.
And I can imagine in Iceland as well, like, a dome on a hill would be kind of spectacular. Like, nighttime, no air pollution, really.
Beautiful. Yeah. So, in other news, we sort of keep going on a roller coaster of good and bad. Barry Freundel, Rabbi Barry Freundel, he was charged with videotaping naked women at a ritual bath or a mikvah. This was quite a while ago. And now it's come up. He's been called the Peeping Tom Rabbi. He was in lots of trouble being charged for it. But the rabbi is now refusing to leave the sort of synagogue-owned rabbinical house. So, for those that are, you know, you're the rabbi of this synagogue, so they provide a house so that that person could live there, and now he is refusing to leave even though he's no longer the rabbi of the synagogue. And what adds to why it's difficult is because apparently the agreement was that these sort of disputes would happen not in a regular court, but in what we call a Beit Din. It's sort of a rabbinical court. So now there's a bit of it's a bit harder to sort of get the gears of that moving. And now they're sort of stuck with this guy living in their house, which they kind of like get out. Yeah,
so does he become a squatter? Because I take it that they're not calling him a rabbi anymore.
Well,
Have they dethroned him of his rabbiness?
It's my understanding he's not still the rabbi of the synagogue, yeah. But he's still like, well, I'm still living in the house. It's kind of my understanding, though, this isn't one of those cases, though, where it's like, oh, we're going to do it in the religious court and therefore you won't be able to get it done and never be able to move from it. It seems that he'll probably get kicked out. So it's just, I don't know, maybe just seems like a stalling tactic more than anything like that. Just wasting people's time.
Look, at least it's not news about Christian priests anymore.
Look, quite frankly, I think we're going to find, unfortunately, more of those type of cases and sexual crimes occurring within various religious communities. That's going to continue to come out.
Oh, definitely.
Now, I want to end with one more interesting piece of news, which is that the Mormons have really been coming out hard recently in support of anti-discrimination laws against GLBTI people.
That's good.
Which is obviously great news. We like to hear that. We don't want our GLBTI religious brothers and sisters being oppressed, discriminated against. However, there is a bit of a catch, and so it has led to quite some criticism.
Yes, yes. So the church also wants to protect its right to be exempt from these laws.
That's so yes.
We still want to discriminate, but we don't want anyone else to.
That's right. So I understand that there is quite a history of the Mormon Church really invoking those religious exemption laws when it comes to GLBTI people. I believe that they are still in control of the American Boy Scouts, and it was a huge influence as part of that. The Mormon Church, well, LDS, specifically the Latter-day Saints, there's various things, usually we're referring to LDS, and so it's worth noting that's specifically what I'm referring to. Being gay in the Scouts can sometimes lead to you being kicked out, and there's been quite some controversies surrounding that because the Scouts is funded by the government, and so then there's a bit of a double thing going on there.
Definitely, and that's a whole day's worth of news on itself.
Yeah, and so we are seeing, again, that, you know, continuing to want to say, no, we want secular institutions to be unable to discriminate against GLBTI people. However, we still want to be able to maintain that we don't, we want to keep those things sort of separate from us. So we'll see how those things develop. Maybe it's just a case of baby steps.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe it's a sign of something to change, and maybe it's not. So we're going to have to see what happens there. But I have a feeling there's going to be quite a few rumblings about that one. And you're listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And we are coming to the end of another one of our shows.
We are, and we've been around the world tonight, haven't we?
Yeah, this has been quite a show. I mean, we're in Australia. We're also looking at Buddhists around the world who are going to be celebrating Nirvana Day. It's both called Paranirvana Day or Nirvana Day. And, you know, really our news has also taken Iceland and to America. So we've really been all over the place this week.
We're all about the education here tonight, guys.
Now, next week, actually, speaking of international, if you come, I will be speaking to a lovely trans activist from India. So last week, some of you may recall that we were looking at intersex issues, and I was talking to people here who are intersex advocates, and India has its own quite fascinating history with intersex, eunuchs, trans. It's kind of all often it ends up being grouped together in many instances, and we'll sort of be looking at what the deal is there, because of the history of Hinduism, there's often quite a friendliness when it comes to these issues, and in other respects, sometimes not. So that's about all from myself. I'm Tal Meretz.
And I'm Rachel Morrison.
You've been listening to The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9. And I will tell you one last time, remember to go to our Facebook group, type in The Spirit Lounge on Joy 94.9 and join our group. I would love to talk to you, because that's where we put our updates. Good evening, faithful listeners.
See you next week.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.